Hi, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Anna. And we're business partners, mums, and we're also mates.
Yes, we are. But we are also chefs, taxi drivers, band-aid appliers. The list goes on. So we know that the juggle is real.
We're here to chat with you about how to find joy in the juggle, as well as bringing you all kinds of connected conversations with inspiring people who have stories of their own to tell and insight to share about how to set your soul on fire.
Also, we might throw in a swear word or some cheeky context, so perhaps if little ones are around, it's best to listen with AirPods in.
So you're... we... how do you wrap up an intro?
It's funny, I am still that red Ferrari. I just choose to drive her differently these days because we actually don't get to choose the make and model, right? We are what we are.
Yeah. What about if your make and model is a 1992 Toyota Corolla? You know what I'm saying? So, as we create our own 2024 plans, Sarah, you and I, we decided this January that we were going to chat to inspiring women, women who we find inspiring, who can help us to create what we want to have, which is an unforgettable year ahead. It's New Year, it's January, it's the perfect time to do it. So in today's episode, we're going to be joined by two absolute powerhouse women who are at the pinnacle of their careers. And in doing that, they're somehow still managing to balance their life and peak fitness while also working with leaders of some of our nation's most prominent brands and athletes and organizations, and the list goes on. They're amazing. These girls understand the significance of investing in an enduring life and an action plan that is centered on the three fundamental pillars of success, which is life, leadership, and longevity.
As you would all know by now, Anna and I absolutely love the collaborative journey between women. We believe that when women work together, we elevate each other to new levels that we may not ordinarily reach alone. So today, it is so exciting for us to chat with a dynamic duo who have individually reached incredible accomplishments, and now together, they are doing amazing things.
So first, let's introduce Shanna Kennedy, who's an author, a master life coach and life planner with 20 years of experience coaching elite athletes and CEOs, entrepreneurs, high-performing executives and teams. And her experience empowers clients to take control of their lives and achieve their visions, overcome burnout and reach their goals. Wow. Welcome, Shanna.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having us. We're super excited to speak to another dynamic duo.
Oh, I don't think our list of accomplishments are quite as long as yours, but thank you so much. You two are life goals. I now have the pleasure of introducing Colleen Callender. Colleen is an esteemed author also, and she has had an impressive 30 years in Australian retail, serving as a CEO for iconic brands such as Suzanne and the brand where I donated all of my pocket money to in the 90s, to Sports Girl, where my daughters have now just discovered. She has got a wealth of knowledge and a track record in building brands and establishing winning cultures and inspiring and empowering women to reach their full potential. Colleen, welcome.
Oh, thank you. It's so great to be here with you both. And when you talk about women collaborating, it is just music to our ears. We are so passionate about women connecting, collaborating, and we really believe that we're all much stronger together and we can achieve so much more when we work together instead of, you know, working separately. So that's our mission. We are two women, one mission, all about elevating humans. And we're so thrilled to be able to share this with you both and with your podcast today.
Amazing. So speaking of elevating, your new book is called Elevate. We received it in the mail a couple of weeks ago. It's like a little early Christmas present. We've been going through it ever since then. But before we kick into the contents of it, can you girls maybe give us just a little bit of a backstory about what made you think about developing this book together and your professional and personal experiences that kind of got you culminating together to create this book, Elevate?
Fantastic. Well, I might just start with my quick story and then Colleen will tell hers and then how it all came together. So mine sort of started in corporate sport and, you know, all around high performance, elite athletes in sponsorship, a real Jerry Maguire style of job. It was helicopters and sporting events and the country's best athletes. And What a privilege to be in your 20s and to soak in all of that inspiration and knowledge and really watch how high performers work and how they all have coaches for all different things. And I really married my job, which a lot of women do. We get very excited. We marry the job. We have no boundaries. We have no sort of thoughts about self-care. It's about work hard or go home. The longer you work, the harder you work, the quicker you'll climb the ladder, or so we thought. And that ended up in burnout for me before I was even 30, and suffered chronic fatigue syndrome, which took me out of work for a whole year, lying in bed, really thinking about what am I doing with my life and how can I continue being an A-type overachieving perfectionist but honor my health at the same time. So I studied life coaching and decided to open a business 20 years ago when nobody had even heard of life coaching. So it was very thought leading, very frightening. People were like, why would you leave your Jerry Maguire job to be a life coach? Crazy pill have you taken here? And I really thought about, you know, what happens to people when they lose their job. And it was all about athletes losing their job through injury, not getting picked on the team. And I saw the very dark side of sport, which is also the dark side of, you know, who are you without your marriage and who are you without your business and who are you when you retire? So, you know, everybody needed a life plan, but there was nothing ever about it. So I wrote the life plan, opened my coaching business and said everybody needs a life plan running alongside their career plan or their sporting plan. And that is how I met Colleen. So over to you, Cole.
Yeah. So my story is a little bit different to Shanna's. I started in the fashion industry when I was 16 years of age. That's what I told myself. It was just a casual job at my local Just Jeans store, but that didn't matter. I started on the end of my school year 11 break, and from the minute I walked in that door, I love retail. I loved everything about it, people, products, serving customers. And so I worked all summer. And at the end of that summer break, the area manager came to me and said, hey, Cole, you've done a really great job. Are you interested in staying on with the Just Jeans business? You know, we think you've got potential. We'd love to offer you a full-time sales assistant role. Well, I was pretty excited about that. So I ran home and told my parents I wasn't finishing year 12. I wasn't finishing graduation. I was going into retail. And
I would have loved that, I'm sure.
Loved it. It was a very interesting conversation. But I said, don't you worry, I've got potential. That's what they've told me. And I remember that moment very vividly. And my father said to me, work hard, love what you do, be passionate and never give up. And they're the words that have stuck with me for my whole life. And So here I was, I won the battle. I moved into retail, 16 turning 17, and I did exactly what he said. I worked hard. And at 18, I was promoted to the youngest store manager in the company. At 20, I was promoted to the youngest area manager. And then at 24, I was running the state with 54 stores. And that's where I spent the next 4 years of my life. And then I got a call from Sports Girl in 1999 asking me to join them.
When Sarah was shopping in the racks. Yes,
exactly. You're welcome.
Yeah, whether it's you, your daughter, your mother, everyone has connected to that iconic Australian brand. And little did I know, when I walked in that door in 1999, I'd spend the next 20 years of my working career there and 13 of those as CEO. And I was very lucky at that point to meet Shanna when I became CEO. And I got Shanna as my life coach then. And I had her for my whole entire 13 years as a CEO. And not only was Shanna my coach, but I also got her to coach all of my executive team, because for me, it is always the person first. And we're the same person that shows up to the organization or to the sporting field or to wherever it is. But we have to start with person first, human first. So we talk about all roads lead to self, whether that's leadership, confidence, plans, boundaries, all roads lead to self. So we're just so passionate about these three pillars: the life pillar, the leadership pillar, and the pillar that people forget, which is the longevity pillar. How do we do all of this? How do women have it all? Fulfillment, success, happiness, but how do we do it without burnout and not be worried that, you know, we can't have self-care in our lives, because we absolutely can. So we're on this absolute mission and we're having a lot of fun while we do it.
It actually started because we love walking. So we were walking one day and said, oh, you know, we should do a little keynote together one day, because I'd been on the speaking circuit for 15 years and it's pretty lonely, actually. You know, you're on stage and then you're traveling by yourself, and like there's so much fun to be had out here. Let's do something together. And we thought we'd start with a little keynote, life and leadership, which turned into overnight a huge business with full day immersives, masterclasses, keynotes. And then we added walking in the world. So we take groups on our bucket list walks, groups of women, and we coach them while we walk. So we did Camino Trail this year, and we did Japan forest bathing this year, and got two trips every year. And it was really interesting. It wasn't like, let's sit down and build a big business together. It was very organic. We always knew we'd do something together. We always said, oh my gosh, imagine if we did something together. And it was really an organic way of bringing all of our skills together and combining them and cherry picking the best possible skills and habits. And then that, we thought, we need to turn this into a book. So Colleen's already written her book about leadership by design. I've written 7 other books with Penguin over the last 10 years. So very well versed in book writing. And we just thought, wow, if we combine that together, how we can just elevate to another level. And then that's how we got the word elevate, which we're very passionate about, because anyone on the planet can elevate. We can all change a habit. We can all lift our lives to a new level very easily when we have that clarity of habit structure.
It's so funny that you say that, because just yesterday, actually, Sarah was saying to me, we have been having discussions about, you know, using a word for your year and how some people will create a word and that's the word that you use. And she had a word that she was using, and we had a discussion, and I said, oh, it's kind of, you already do that. And I don't know that that's, and anyway, over the course of the last week, she looked over and she saw elevate on your book, and she said, Elevate is what needs to be the word, because like, just like you said, it encompasses so much of such importance.
I would imagine too, that the two of you coming from as a CEO and also coming from sport, it would have been male dominated. So now working together, you're really appreciating that women's sisterhood and the power that you can create together.
Yes. Well, Colleen had female staff, so she was in the world of women. So she's very versed with women, whereas I was in the world of men. I was the only female in sports sponsorship for a very, very long time. Never saw another female in sight. And then as a coach, interestingly enough, the first life coaches were all men as well, which I found really interesting, because women have that empathy that was lacking back then. I think it's there now, come a long way, but it was really thought leading for me. And prior to that, I was in stockbroking, which was totally male dominated. So I was the only female there. So it was really nice to me then to work with all of Colleen's female staff and then to collaborate with a female, because I've never had that opportunity really before.
And so we're both super passionate about women in leadership, and that's been my whole sort of wheelhouse for 30 years. When we wrote Elevate, we wanted it to be for every human on the planet. So it's whether you are starting out in your career, whether you are an entrepreneur, whether you are a mum, whether you are a doctor, it actually doesn't matter where you are in your life or leadership journey, because Elevate is all about you. So it's this personal journey through your life, your leadership, and your longevity topics. And at the end of every single chapter, as you would see in the book, we ask you, what do you want to start doing? What do you want to keep doing? And what do you want to stop doing? So we've written the book so it's really practical, really easy, because when we make it practical and easy, people do it. And we also talk about, we don't need to make massive sweeping changes. A lot of times people think, oh, where do I even start? And how do I do that? It's just such a big job. I've got to just do so many things and it's so hard. And it's actually not. When you think about the word elevate, you can elevate 1% every day. This is like compound interest. The more you do it, the better you get. So you can elevate in every single area of your life. And we always talk about small changes, huge impact. And that's really what Elevate is about. It's about changing your life one word at a time and elevating your life one word at a time. It's really, really special.
Reading through your book, I can tell that you have really, really combined your forces, and it does feel that it is written to everybody. It could be one of your workers at Just Jeans through to your dad, through to one of your, Shana, one of your elite sports people. You can tell that you've combined both of your forces and you've really drawn on all of your experiences. Now, the book teaches us how to cultivate an action plan, and it's basically creates a tangible roadmap to marry growth, success, and fulfillment. I love that the book serves as a workbook. Anna and I are all about implementing as we go. So, Shana, can you explain the concept of defining a roadmap and why that is so important to the future us?
Such a great question. This is the high performance part. This is the athlete part that we've brought into the book, because we've read so many books and there's nothing to do in the book. You read the skill, you learn about the skill, but it doesn't prompt you to take it into your life. So we know with working with elite athletes for so long and high performers, and I do work with a lot of mums and stay-at-home people, anybody, anyone really, but everybody needs a plan. When we don't have a plan, the brain gets very lost and confused. So we know that the brain needs a map, a roadmap moving forward. So we're really teaching people the basic fundamentals of you must write something down with clear words, very, very short words, and put them on the wall somewhere. So there's free wall planners at the back, but there's also downloadable ones on the website, because we have everything on the wall. Athletes have everything on the wall. It's like when you walk into a gym and they've got all the quotes on the wall and, you know, the person who's really fit on the wall, it's like, oh yeah, okay, I will lift that heavier weight because of that stimulation. So visual, what we wanted to do is to take the book off the page and into a visual for you. So with the planners, it's there for the whole year. My word of the year is elevate. These are all the things I'm going to stop doing in my life that have not served me well. These are all the things I'm going to start doing and try to add into my life. And these are all the things I'm going to keep doing in my life, which really do work well, and I need to not forget about them. So the brain needs a map. Anytime people say, oh, I've done my New Year's resolution, if there's no map and pathway, we'll forget about it within 3 weeks.
Why is it so imperative to say start with a 10-year plan?
Because the brain needs to go on the big journey first. It needs to know why it's going there and get emotionally connected to it. So if I say, you know, we're going from Melbourne to Brisbane to Perth and we're finishing in the Maldives, your brain just went on a journey. It's now connected to all of the little GPS points along the way. The brain needs the same. You know, it needs to know what is the end destination that I can get excited about. What can I visualize for myself so I can start feeling it? And that serves as inspiration and motivation to set small goals and then daily habits.
It's a really great explanation. And I also love that at the end of each chapter, there are prompts, not just to what are you going to start, but also what you're going to stop, because I don't think enough. We do think about, you know, when it comes to New Year's resolutions and creating our life plan and all of these things, we go, what am I going to do? But we're not focusing on what we're going to let go and what we're not going to do, or we're going to actively stop doing. So that was really helpful to me to think, wow, there's power also in identifying the things that I'm doing currently that I shouldn't or don't want to anymore to help get to the end goal.
I felt really badass writing in the book, I have to tell you. And then once I started, I couldn't stop. Out came the highlighters and the textures, and I was underlining. But that's how I retain information. And that was really a lot more tangible for me to take in and realistic for me to get excited about the year ahead rather than just reading words on a book. So I did love that. Well done.
And when we write things down, we really connect to them, right? So we, Shana and I, have a handwritten diary. We don't have a computer diary. Of course we do, but we have it because we write everything down. And we have in our diaries every morning, Shana's going to yoga at 6 and I'm doing my walk at 6. We're not going to forget. We've been doing that for 15 years. We're working on our 10-year-older self every day, right? But we still write it down because you commit to yourself. You're promising yourself you're going to get up and that's what you're doing tomorrow. So there is something really powerful in the written word. And when we walk the world with women, we get them to journal every single day because they're writing their future plan. They're creating their future vision for themselves. themselves, and you walk away and it's all there. You know, you're not just trying to remember all of this in your head, because you get back to life and life gets busy and then we just go back to our old ways. But when you're writing it down, you are making a commitment to yourself.
My grandmother once told me, what would your 10-year self tell you? And I often think about that, you know, why would I look back and think, I wish I had have started German lessons or learned the flute? It's too late in 10 years, but we can design it now. So that was a great thing in your book too, that reiterated that to me. So thank you.
Yeah, so really important. And there's two sides to it. So one is your role model is your 10-year older self, the person who you want to become, the person, the reason why we go to yoga or walk today is to serve that person. And she's going to be so grateful that you kept her fit and healthy. But there's also your 10-year younger self as well. And what would she be telling you? Because she was more ambitious, or, you know, she had less baggage, I suppose, or your 10-year older self, your 10-year old self, I should say, who was, you know, in the playground. And she was like, yeah, just go for it, you know. So we need to tap into our inner child and our older role model at all times. And there's so much wisdom within us that people are just looking externally for all of this validation, but it's inside. And when we work with clients, it's really about tapping into, listen to yourself. You know the answer. You might have a bit of fear, but your 10-year-old self is saying, oh no, nothing can go wrong. Just have a go. Your 10-year older self is saying, well, you know, you've got to look after me as well. Make great decisions for me. And what are the habits that you need to stop doing for me?
Oh, these girls are good.
Okay. So speaking of internal self and reflection, and Colleen, I'd like to direct this question to you. There's a great relationship that you speak of. One of the first things that you address in the book is looking at your values. And then I know that you both talk about the importance of the relationship between your values, your strengths, your purpose, and self-awareness. So, and how they all kind of interlink. Why are you so passionate about defining your values in a very real way?
Mm-hmm. Well, they're so important because our values are the way we make decisions. And when we don't make decisions in line with our values, they're often wrong. Or if we're trying to make a decision and it doesn't feel right, we're like, why doesn't this feel right? I really want it to feel right. I really, you know, someone's telling me I should do it, but it just doesn't. It's because it's not right, because it doesn't align to your values. So we talk about it as the foundations of self. And that's really where we start in all of our programs, in our book, that self-awareness. And we talk about it as the foundations of your house, your values, yourself, and your purpose. And we need to have those really strong foundations of self, strong foundations of our house, so we can build something really beautiful on top of that. Because if we build a house with not solid foundations, it's not going to be standing for too long. It will not weather the storms, the challenges, the COVID, the all things that come our way. So those foundations for us are absolutely imperative. Knowing your values, really imperative. Knowing your purpose. Why are we here? Why do we show up every day? What puts a fire in our belly? And why should anyone really care? Right? That's our purpose. It's why we're put on this planet. And then the self piece, which is who am I? Really, who am I at the core? Not I'm Cole, the CEO, or Shanna, the coach. Who are you at the core? What makes you tick? What are you passionate about? What are you scared of? What do you want for your life, for your future self? So we always start there. And when you build those solid foundations, you are so ready to build that success, fulfillment, happiness, reward, all on top of that. And we suddenly say, oh, this is all going really well. Why? Because you've got solid foundations of you. So you are making the right decisions for yourself.
Oh, that's good. Shanna, you were married to your job. You had no regard for your health, for boundaries, or self-care. And you claimed once upon a time to have none of the tools. That ended in chronic depression and burnout for you. So how did you unlearn all of those ways of being an achievement junkie?
That's a great question. So our values, we come back to the values, and I actually got myself a coach when I went into burnout because I had been around sporting people for so long and everyone had a coach, and all of a sudden I'm at home all alone, can't get out of bed. I'm like, I need a person. I don't need a counselor. I need a coach who is not attached to me, who is going to tell me straight out what they think should be done next, etc. So I got myself a coach, and she started with values. And who are you without your job? And I was like, I am nothing without my job. Wow. I have my job. So we had to unpack all of those bad habits. We had to unpack all of those thought patterns that really identified myself as my title. And we had to build the person from the ground up again. And that all started with values. And health became the first value. And health is not, do we feel great? It is mental health, physical health, emotional health, and spiritual health. There are four buckets. And that became my purpose. You know how people say, I really want my purpose. And how come everybody's got their purpose and I don't? Or they were born with their purpose. Your purpose is actually to really go and live and honor your values. So all of a sudden I had to build new structures around mental health, new structures around physical health. I had to build new structures around emotional health and not having the inner critic in there all the time. So that became my purpose. And then my family became my second value. And then the third one was achievement, being the A-type overachieving perfectionist, was learning that progress was more important than perfection. So if it wasn't absolutely perfect, it was going, it's okay. And I had to give myself permission and really learn that. That was a really hard skill for me. And it still is today. But I'm much better at not sweating the small stuff anymore or the small detail or anything like that, because it actually makes me burn really quickly. So I'm much better now at just focusing on progress, about being a lot more lighthearted and really still being a very high achiever, but with just a softer edge to it all, I would say.
And you think that helped by identifying, getting back to the core values? And
100%. Yeah. And that's the first thing I do with all clients and all of athletes. They are chasing Olympic gold, and we always start with values.
Mm.
Be very, very clear on what's most important to you in your life, then go and build the career on top of that. But this is really your core purpose in life.
Would you say that you were just ticking the boxes and living for the big achievements and not enjoying the everyday simple moments?
100%. Absolutely. Tick, next goal, tick, next goal, tick. And this is what Colleen and I really wanted to finish the book on, which was longevity, which is if we operate like those A-type overachieving junkie habits, we burn out. It's not sustainable. So the longevity piece was very important in the book because it was about fulfillment. Maybe we should start enjoying what we're doing, not just ticking it off. Maybe we should start celebrating all of the small wins. And we talk about in the book about when you really watch sport, they celebrate every point, every small win. Yet we don't. We just wait for something big and then we celebrate it for a day and move on to the next thing. Whereas we're watching all the time how high performers do it. They celebrate every point, every small little hurdle, every small little win that they have. And that builds the fulfillment and the inspiration and the longevity. And really honoring recovery was another big habit to start and learn of high performance. And that's what we really wanted to say in the book was, let's all elevate to a new level of being, not just performance, but a new level of caring for ourselves, a new level of recovering and giving ourselves time to rest properly. But also let's take our life of celebration and gratitude to a new level as well, so that we have depth and feeling and fulfillment and enjoy in our life. So it was really, it's really all of our wisdom coming together after working so hard for the last 50 combined years together.
That's fascinating. And now it's interesting that you talk about the foundations, the values building the foundation, because Colleen, you also have described yourself as being a red Ferrari. Is that right? But, and I loved this analogy, with the red Ferrari, you weren't pumping up the tires, you weren't putting petrol in the tank, you weren't getting the engine checked. So can you just touch quickly on how you, or what happened when you hit a wall there?
Yes, thank you. It was 2007 and I was general manager of Sports Girl. I had three young children under the age of 10. And as you said, I described myself as the red Ferrari who'd never put petrol in the tank, never pulled into the pits, never put air in the tires. And no car works that well if we don't do the basic fundamentals once again. It's funny, I am still that red Ferrari. I just choose to drive her differently these days because we actually don't get to choose the make and model, right? We are what we are.
Yeah.
but we have to drive her differently. And I still have a tendency to try and put the pedal to the metal. And Shanna will say, okay, slow down, red Ferrari. We don't need to because that's my nature. So I really need to manage how I do that. And that was when I got Shanna as my coach. And I suppose one of the biggest things, the biggest game changers for me was putting in boundaries. I had none. I had no boundaries. I was just this constantly on the racetrack, and I wanted a personal best, and I wanted to be faster every day. I wanted to do it better the next day and better the next day, that achievement junkie mentality, right? And so I hit a wall, and when you hit a wall, you have no option. I had to stop, and I actually took 3.5 months off. I went into Sports Girl the next day to, I had a conversation with my husband, and, you know, this had sort of been building up. I was on this freight train on to burnout town, and all of a sudden I'd arrived, and I just didn't want to get up and do it again the next day. So I went in to resign, and lucky for me, they talked me out of that idea. They said, Cole, you're not going anywhere. What about you take some time off? So I took 3.5 months off. I came to my happy place, which is Sorrento, which is where I live in Victoria now, Mornington Peninsula. And I completely reprogrammed that Ferrari, and I built in boundaries and self-care that I'd never had before. I had no off button. So that is one of the biggest game changers for anyone who's listening to your podcast, anyone who thinks that they're having some signs of burnout. And it's been huge over the last couple of years. Over 70% of Australian employees have said they've had some kind of burnout symptoms throughout this sort of COVID and post-COVID period. And, you know, the reason is there's no boundaries. You know, we're in our homes all now. I'm assuming you're both in your homes, right? Our homes have always been our sanctuary. And then our homes all of a sudden became our place of work, and there was no switching off. So people have really had a really massive problem with burnout over the last few years. So yeah, we give them all the tools and tips in the book to prevent burnout and really keep that tank full, no matter what make and model you are.
What about if your make and model is a 1992 Toyota Corolla? You know what I'm saying?
It doesn't matter what make or model you are. It's about setting those boundaries. It's about creating a life in balance. It's about building in self-care and not feeling selfish. It's about putting yourself first. You know, we say to women we work with, you are the most important person in this world. And we never look at ourselves like that. We always look at everyone else, our children and our husband, and we're always in service to others, right? But we can't be in service to others and do a great job unless we're first in service to ourselves, and that we keep our tanks really, really full.
And you've got to remember that everyone's got a different capability and capacity, as you said. Like, not everyone's a red Ferrari. I'm probably a Mercedes. I'm not the Ferrari. I'm like
still luxury.
can we just pace a little bit here? You know, she's still the Ferrari, but we can just pace a little bit here. But not everybody can operate like that. And that's great. And that's fantastic. But as long as you know you, and the book is about self-awareness is first, and to know where your limit is and where your line is. And some people are really great at churning out an enormous amount of work every day. And for some people, they've done the same amount of effort with less. And that's fine. It's totally fine. We're all different. We're all unique. We're all amazing. But if you have to bring things in, you've got to know your capability and capacity and where your boundaries sit and honor them.
Okay, we are taking a break in the podcast to personally invite you to join us for 4 days in beautiful Bali.
Sarah, this is not your average hippy dippy women's retreat.
No, it's not, Anna.
Well, it's a little bit hippy dippy.
That's right, we're heading into the jungles in Ubud into a barefoot luxury retreat. And we want you there.
It's a journey for you to reflect personally and privately, let go of what's no longer serving you, and embrace what sets your soul on fire. Because really, when do we ever give ourselves the time and space to actually do that?
Never. We've set the tone in the environment that is just so nurturing. Yes, we're above the rice fields, but there's also a real rock vibe. We're going to bring in some DJs, nightly music, even going to bring in a local village for a cultural night. You want to do some morning yoga and breath work? Absolutely. You want to sleep in? Knock yourself out.
There's workshops where we dive deep into all aspects of our lives to reignite our joy, whether that be for our profession, our relationship,
or ourselves?
There's organic food and drinks, and let me tell you, the food is absolutely amazing. If you want vodka in your green juice at 10 o'clock, that's totally acceptable as well.
Every day we get a daily buffet brunch and dinner provided, serving nourishing and indulging recipes that are made from fresh, organic and locally sourced produce that's going to satisfy all dietary preferences.
We're also giving you lots of space in the schedule just to really do what you want to do. If you want to go and explore Bali, jump into a waterfall, or just hang out and slide down the slide into the pool, then it's completely up to you.
We're also going to explore the heart of Bali by immersing in any number of adventures, from outings to landmarks or sacred sites, to trying your hand at a traditional Balinese cooking class if that's what you're up to.
Anna, you've missed the most best part of everything.
What's that, Sarah?
You've missed the amazing day spa where the girls bless you on arrival and you literally just sink into that day bed and all of your worries drift away.
Oh, take me back there now. When can we go back?
Funny you should ask, Anna. We've actually got a couple of women's only retreats available. Hurry.
June 29th to July 2nd, 2024, and another from July 3rd to 6th, 2024.
So grab your other exhausted women in your life, whether it's another business owner, another mum friend, your mum, whoever. You can even come alone, but come with us and escape just for a minute and find your inner joy. Trust us, it is going to be amazing.
You can find feedback from previous attendees, as well as all of the other information that you need, on our website at www.theworkwives.com.au or through the link in our bio on our Instagram page at the.work.wives.
We'll see you by the fire pit with a cocktail in a coconut shell.
Absolutely. We look forward to seeing you there.
See you there. There's a lot about mindset in your book, something we're also exceptionally passionate about. You describe mindset as you can either be the driver or the passenger. And I guess you're referring to the fact that you can either have a fixed mindset or a growth mindset. Is mindset something we are born with? If we're negative Nancy, can we change, and how can we change?
Yeah, I think mindset is definitely a trainable skill. So we are born with a baseline of genetically, you're either the glass half full or the glass half empty type of person, 100%. On top of that, then you need to think about what you look for externally to make you happy and successful, and what are your habits. And one of the habits that a lot of people forget about is actually learning to train the brain and thinking about it as a skill that is trainable with an incredible outcome. And they put people into two categories, fixed or growth. So if you think, oh, well, I've always been an introvert, so I'm an introvert forever, or I've never been great at exercising, so I'm just not an exercise person. You know, you really put yourself in these categories that are pretty fixed. They're very sticky. They're very hard to maneuver out of. And what the coach will do is come in and say, how about we reframe and change your story? Because when you change your story, you change your life. So Tony Robbins is a very big teacher of this: change your state, which is move your body, then change your story, which is the story that you're telling yourself about yourself, and then your life will automatically change. So if, you know, you want to be a writer or an author, you know, oh, I'm not a writer, you just start saying, I love writing one sentence a day. We have to start changing the narrative. So mindset is the control panel of the car. You know, we need to plug in, I say, a new computer program every day. And that's where affirmations come in, journaling comes in, having great screensavers come in that say, I can't do this, I've got this. Putting things up on the wall. Colin and I have a lot on the wall, which is all about positive reinforcement, whatever we need to change the brain with at the time. I've got this, feel the fear and do it anyway, or this too shall pass if you're in a tough time. The brain actually needs a nice little program. So mindset training is very, very important. And that's why we go into it in the book and really try and simplify it for people. So what do you want to stop telling yourself in your mind, which is not working for you? And what is a new sentence that you could replace that with, which will open more doors for you and allow you to elevate to a new level?
Funny that you just were talking about putting things on the wall. Our last podcast episode had Sarah and I talking about how I have a vision board next to my computer that had my 2023 stuff on it. And I've just gone out and bought all the thing, my pretty bits and pieces to make it the 2024 vision board. But can you maybe give anybody else who's following along my journey and doing their own journey of a vision board next year, probably the two or three main things that you think I should put on it to really motivate me or get the right kind of, you know, that growth mindset happening?
Yes, absolutely. So vision boards have been around for hundreds of years. You know, people put up on the wall whatever they need to create an emotional connection to their goals. And this is what's most important. So with a vision board, we always start in the center with your own set of values, because that is
okay.
To who you are. So they go in the middle. Then around the vision board, we just put it into nice little sections, like this is my fitness, this is my family, this is my career, these are my hobbies, this is my fun.
Now, let me check with you, because you're the vision board expert, and Sarah always makes fun of me because on my vision board in my family spot, I have other people's families laughing and frolicking in lovely daisy fields. And she laughs at me because it's not my family. And I'm like, yes, but that's what I want. that's
great question. So that's about the feeling. So when people put a picture up on the board or a word, I always invite them to write on the back why. So the feeling of that family frolicking in the sea is connection or life,
yes,
energy, or wow, they look like they have fun together as a family. I'm going to create more fun. And so that picture will always say, how am I having fun with my family? What could
good
I
one.
Some of the words that I put up.
I didn't want to sound like a meanie to Anna, but she did have pictures of her with her friendship groups and then fake families. That's why I found it absolutely hilarious.
Fine. But there'll be a reason that she did that. So one of the reasons is, you know, why did you put your friends up there? And that might be because it just gives me joy that I feel like I belong somewhere. So that's spiritual health. It means you're part of something bigger than yourself. The other pictures are about really for your brain to see, oh, this is what I aspire to be. So are about aspiration. So it could be colors that people put up. It can be arts and crafts things that people put up. It can be the Maldives. What athletes do is put the color gold up there to open the brain that it's actually a possibility that we could win gold or the Olympic rings. That's why I'm hurting today, because I'm going in that direction. So does is create emotion and inspiration on why you're doing something. Also, when we do put up a picture, say I want a new Mini Cooper car and I put that up there, I start noticing Mini Coopers all around me. So it brings everything to the frontal cortex. And then actually what happens is we see that there is opportunity around us that we weren't looking at before. So it's a very powerful tool when done right. And very inspiring when we can see it somewhere every day. So I always invite people to take a photo of it and put it up as a screensaver.
Good idea. Great tips. Thank you.
Great advice. Just on that quickly, I heard one of you in doing some research, because the idea of doing a vision board and art and craft at the current time hurts my head. I read that one of you actually just does a screensaver on your computer, which is a genius idea.
You can use Pinterest and just create something for yourself as a screensaver. I've actually got vision board kits online, and it's all the photos and all the words are already there. And there's a lot of free downloadable ones online. So you can start that way and then start adding your personal touch.
Pauline, I am absolutely wanting to know more about these walking tours. Anna and I last year went to Bali, and we're going back again next year. And there was such an amazing thing about stepping out of the country. I felt that the women in particular were really able to step away from life and to hone in on themselves, to be able to think about investing in some self-care, focusing on work-life balance and what's important. So I really love what you girls are putting down. So can you tell us a little bit more about your walking tours and what that entails?
Absolutely. Well, we've partnered with another wonderful woman named Glenice, and she's from Wandering the World. So again, it's all about collaborating with women for us. So we do, as Shanna said, we do 2 walks a year. And it's so important for women to get off that mouse wheel, because we are constantly on it, you know, whether we have careers, or we're working part-time, and then we come home and there's chores there, and there's the kids and the dog and the husband and friends and everything else. And we are constantly on this mouse wheel. And most women, not all, but most women are also people pleasers. So they're putting others before self. So we take women on our walk. We had 15 doing the Camino Trail with us, and we had 10 doing the Nakasendo Way in Japan just recently. And it is absolutely incredible what happens with these women, who most of them don't know each other. What happens on that 7-day journey walking together? We open our minds, we share our stories, we share our wisdom, we challenge each other, and we see these women connect and bond and walk off that trip, not just a better version of themselves, but and a stronger version of themselves, but they walk away really connected to each other and to us. And Shanna and I do lectures every morning. And then we coach as we're walking. But it's really important that it's not just us coaching. What happens is everyone starts learning from each other. And again, it doesn't matter where you are. We've had mums, we've had entrepreneurs, we've had Olympians, we've had people from all, women from all walks of life. And everyone comes off that track with something different. But what they absolutely come off with is clarity, with their words written in their journal, thinking about their 10-year self, coming away thinking that self-care isn't selfish, it should actually be a lifelong investment for women. So there's all of these beautiful things, and confidence is another big piece. You know, most women have a, you know, lack some sort of confidence at some point in their life, and we know we all have an inner critic. So the whole trip is also about building confidence in ourselves and building that confidence muscle, because it is a muscle. We're not born with confidence. It's something that strengthen as we go through life and experience new things. And this is one of those experiences. So it is just an absolute joy for us to see the one in Japan. From the moment we open our eyes to the moment we finish, we are on all day, and we go to bed exhausted, but just so excited and joyful at the same time. So, you know, just watching these women just really do amazing things within their own sort of thought process and patterns and thinking about their habits. It's just, it's such an amazing thing to see. But we do need to step out of our day-to-day life to be able to really do that properly.
How do you decide where you're going to go? Do you look at what each place can offer, or do you literally just go, I really want to go to Japan, let's go to Japan?
A little bit of both. Yeah. We have Glenice, who does guide us. We have a guide with us, but she does sort of suggest. But we knew that Camino was a bucket list item for everyone. Everyone wants to do the Camino Trail, and it is unbelievably yes. And Japan's one of the hottest places to visit right now. And so we wanted to Japan as well, and really we want that cultural experience, because I've been to Japan before, and you go to the big cities and experience that. But what this does is take you through all the beautiful little villages, and you stay at the Japanese inns, and you experience families looking after you, like generational families looking after you and eating all authentic Japanese food. So we really make the trips very bespoke and very authentic, because that's all part of the journey, is really bringing that authenticity of ourselves along as well.
Beautiful. Just switching gears a little bit, I would like to talk about something that I am itching to talk to you both about, because it's an area of passion for me. Is Sarah and I speak a lot on this podcast and in our community about our work-wife relationship, because it is, I find that women who can work together for an extended period of time, which you both have done, there's, I don't know whether there's an X factor or whether there are things at play to make it work, but for some reason, Sarah and I have made it work for us. And we get questioned a lot of the time by women who are starting partnerships together about how we make it work, and maybe the ins and outs behind it, that we don't always get along, and how we, you know, conflict resolution and all of that sort of stuff. So with all of that said, I would love to know a little bit of a background about your relationship with each other, your work-wife working relationship, and working alongside your bestie, how that works for you, if you do want to wring each other's necks sometimes, or
you know, how it all goes behind the scenes for you both.
Well, I'll let Cole answer that to start with. But I would like to, we really want to know how you do it as well. Like we're like, oh, this is a really great conversation and topic to see, you know, what you have in place as well. I mean, we started with a contract, which is really uncomfortable because we're typing up, well, what happens if your child is sick and we're really big booking, you know, and what happens if you don't feel like doing it anymore, but we've created all of this IP. And so we actually had to sit down and nut through quite a few different scenarios, and they were all typed out. What happens when we decide to finish? Because we know that we said we'd do this until we're 60. So, you know, we've 7 or 8 years, and at 60, we'll reassess. This will be for the chapter of our 50s, to really try and commit to this amazing collaboration. So I think the starting point was us was about clarity. But we already knew ourselves for 20 years already. We have been family holidays together with all of our kids multiple times. Our husbands have a bromance. so there's no breaking up here. But, yeah, I think we started with a very strong foundational clarity piece, would you say, Cole?
Absolutely. And I think we are very, we're very transparent. We're very open. We're very honest. We both know our strengths and we both know the areas we're not good at. So we very much play to our strengths. And we really, I think we really respect each other's opinions and decisions, and we challenge each other. But at the end of the day, there's a huge amount of respect there. And the other thing we said, which I'm sure you both said it as well, we said if this ever got too hard or it didn't work or it became a problem or we couldn't make it work, then we'll just throw it all in the bin, because our friendship is more than anything to us. Our husband's bromance is more than anything, because like we couldn't break up even if we wanted to.
We'd be getting each other in the divorce.
Just wouldn't work. But, you know, for us, that is one of our values is family. And for us, this is also an extension of our family. We have children similar ages. And so, you know, I think that was always the number one priority, is that, you know, this is friendship first and business second always.
Yeah, we were saying that if it's not fun, you know, really enjoying it, then let's just stop. Like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, let's be so perfect about everything or think about what other people think. You know, it's really got to be come from an authentic place, a really deep authenticity when we speak together. You can't force that. I don't think you can force that.
Ours was a little more organic. We kind of met through work and then became friends. And now we're just like you two, taking our children on annual holidays and calling each other to tell each other about the elf or whatever. The kids all love each other. So if we broke up, we would rather break up our business than our friendship now. It's gotten to the point that we call each other even when it's not for work. We've become such great friends. But I think we have been very, very honest as well. But I think we take for granted just how beautiful it is to work with a female and with a friend, somebody that you get on so well, because we hear all the time that people really want to start a business or they have an idea, but they're really, really concerned that it won't work out. And I don't think everybody can work together. We've heard of a lot of people who have created a business and they just didn't quite compromise the way that you should. And it is a compromise. It's like a marriage. There's a lot of communication, but there's also a hell of a lot of trust. And I think they're probably the big things that have really, really worked for us.
I don't think that it will work for a lot of people. You know, you really have to have very similar values and you really have to have a very deep respect for each other. And you have to be able to bend a little bit sometimes and do things you don't want to do. And, you know, there's parts of the business that we do to work to our strengths, but we both have to do things that we don't really enjoy doing. But we need to just do it and not complain about that, I suppose. I think for a lot of people, their resentment builds and they let it build for too long, rather than just saying, I really hate doing the social media, it's not working for me, and have a conversation or whatever it might be. They leave it too long. And then once that's not good.
Yeah. And I do think that often that can be problematic with women working together, because we are
you know, a lot of us have been trained to be pleasant. And so we don't speak up if there's something that is worrying us or that we don't bring our problems to the table. But in unhealthy situations with a lot of women, that can be in the form of resentment and just holding on to something. You said something last week that I didn't like, and I'm not going to tell you, you can guess, and, you know, and then it just escalates into a problem that nobody knew was a problem and didn't have to be a problem. Whereas I think the most powerful female partnerships are when both people have enough foundation in themselves to be able to take when somebody says, this is a problem I have, or this is an issue, and also to be able to express it and then let it go once it's been expressed and resolved.
Yeah. And, you know, so you might burn out a little bit. Like, I burn faster than coal. So I'm like, I just need a day off. Like, I need to decompress or whatever it might be. So I think it's about just being really open and honest as well to say, look, I'm at my capacity. Or she might be at her capacity and say, I just need some time out. We go, yep, that's fine. But it's about having the conversation. So the communication that we have, we speak to each other every day, even though we live an hour away from each other, and we see each other every week and we walk a lot together. And I think women that walk together solve a lot through actually walking and moving.
So true.
We have very conversations when we're walking. It's very collaborative. It's very creative. It's very problem solving when we walk together. So we've done so many walks together in Tasmania with our husbands. We've done lots of walks overseas together. And then when we see each other, we actually walk every morning. So I think walking has been a really solid foundation for communication.
Sarah, we should do more walks together. She's always trying to get me to walk. And I'm like, can we just take an Uber? And she'll walk 20 minutes to get somewhere, and I'm like, but to be fair, I think we do accomplish a lot when we're walking together.
And there has never been a problem that a good cocktail or a great meal has not solved.
We agree.
Now, I know that you two really base a lot of your friendship and your business and even the book on kindness and gratitude. And as the great Maya Angelou once said, it takes courage to be kind. Now, they are two non-negotiables for us in our business, and you've centered a lot on that in the book. Can you explain why it's so important?
Sure. I'll start with the kindness piece, and Shannon might want to elaborate on the gratitude piece. But for me, even as a CEO, I would say that kindness was my superpower. And it's really important to me to live my life that way, whether I'm a CEO or in my everyday life. And kindness really isn't the first word that comes to mind when you think about leadership or a great leader. And I always really challenge that thought, because I think kindness is what will inspire people. Kindness is like a currency that you can trade for loyalty and trust and high performance and commitment. And that's how I lived my CEO life. But I always explain to people that kindness doesn't mean that people can fly under the radar. It doesn't mean it's a free-for-all. It doesn't mean there are no rules or boundaries and, you know, it's all just having fun. Kindness is actually about pushing people out of their comfort zone. Kindness is about having the honest conversations. Kindness is about really sharing with people your expectations and then holding them accountable to those expectations. Kindness is about building true human connection. And that's really the way I lived every single day. Someone asked me in an interview the other day, Cole, how would your team describe you? And I said, the first word they'd say is that I'm a kind leader. But don't worry, she has very high expectations and she lets you know when you are or not achieving those expectations. And that's a kind leader, because I want to see people grow. And if we don't do those basic things, then people are not going to grow. Your business isn't going to grow. Your leadership isn't going to grow. So I think kindness is such a powerful thing. I think we need to shine much more of a spotlight on it, not just in leadership, but in our everyday lives.
And gratitude goes hand in hand with that. And I think that there's been a lot of talk around gratitude, but a lot of people are very unaware about how to implement that in their life. They might say, yeah, I just write something down at nighttime. But I think gratitude is actually just a way of being and finding the very small wins and focusing on what we do have rather than what we don't have. And doing that as a way of life, as a habit, rather than, oh, I'll just sit and write it once a day. For me personally, it's living a life of gratitude, which means really being mindful. And mindfulness is a superpower and a skill that leads into gratitude and breath work, etc. And gratitude is just noticing, what does a coffee taste like? You know, and how lucky are we that we have running water and we have this amazing soap that nobody smells? You know, we just in such a hurry, we wash it up straight away. So kindness and gratitude go hand in hand. And gratitude is about finding the real depth into life and to really feeling the great journey that you're on. We're on this planet once and we don't know how long for. And there's nothing else living on any other planet. It's really quite bizarre. So why don't we try and really find the gratitude in being alive today for the small things that we can communicate through Zoom, for example. And I know in lockdown, I had a yellow sticky here on my computer saying, what is the gift today? You know, we keep looking for the gift and having that as a visual on the wall next to me on my sticky note, and my brain into find the gift in today about being locked in our house and only allowed out for 1 hour for months at a time. Where is the gift? Find it today. And really, gratitude is a brain training exercise as well, about focusing on what you do have, what is great in the moment, and being really present.
I think we have found success in our communities by cultivating a kind culture. But one of the things that I found interesting in the book was that you really kind of expound a lot on leadership, but not necessarily lead. I mean, if you want to be the CEO of a major Australian brand, then you would buy a book on leadership. But mum's making dinner on a Tuesday night aren't thinking about leadership, or somebody who's turning up for their nursing shift to, you know, toilet or bath someone isn't thinking about leadership. But you both really focus on the importance of identifying leadership in your own life, no matter what it is that you're doing or where you're trying to go. So can you expand on that a little bit?
Well, I actually believe that every single one of us are leaders in some way, shape, or form. And we talk about every action, interaction, reaction, or decision you make every day allows you to lead, whether that's in your life, whether that's in your career, whether that's in your friendship group, whether that's in your relationship. So we are all leaders. You know, mums will often say, oh, I'm not a leader. That's not my job. I'm like, you've got little people in your home? And they'll go, yeah. I'm like, well, you are a leader. Right? Because everything you do every day is leading them in the direction you want them to go in and the person you want them to develop into. So every single one of us are leaders, and that starts with self. And so we talk a lot about, you know, leadership starts with boundaries, or leading ourselves, I should say, starts with building structures and boundaries and disciplines into our own lives. You know, the way we show up, the habits we build, the mindset we have, the gratitude that we do every day, all of those things are shaping you as a leader. I don't believe anyone's born a leader. We all have the ability to become leaders and to grow into that leadership role. We all have different, you know, traits and DNAs and all of those kind of things, right? But we can all develop into a leader and the leader that we want to be. You first need to decide what kind of leader do you want to be, right? And that's where one word comes in. Do you want to be a leader of kindness? Do you want to be a visionary leader, a bold leader? How do you want to show up? And we always talk about just that one word. You know, mine was kindness. How do I want to show up? I want to show up as a kind leader every day, which means I put people at the heart of everything that I do, at the center of all decision making. So when we decide what leader we want to be, what kind of legacy we want to leave, what kind of leadership we want to make an impact on those around us and the organization, that's when we can keep doing something, start doing something, or stop doing something to actually show up as that leader. So it's all very intentional. You know, I talk about intentional leadership as well. So it's pretty powerful, but we are all leaders. We can all lead ourselves and in our lives and in our careers and all areas.
Some pretty interesting research, I think, going into intentional leadership at the moment.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we can show up every day and just let life happen around us, right? And it'll be what it'll be, and we'll get what we get. Or we can show up with intention in all areas of our lives and really think about what do I want? what does my next 10 years look like? How do I want to lead? What does that journey look like? How do I want my relationship with my husband in 10 years' time to be? You know, some people say, oh, you know, the kids are little and I just don't have time for the husband right now. And we say, well, we probably won't be here in 10 years if you don't, right? You actually have to make time for things that are important to you. People often say to us, well, I don't have time. I don't have time for that. I don't have time to build the career. I don't have time for self-care. And we just say, oh, that's cool. It's not important then. Because if it's important, you make time.
Yeah, for sure.
Let's talk about the other very important L word in the book, longevity.
Longevity is about self-management. So life was all about self-awareness. Leadership was self-leadership. And longevity was really about managing yourself for the long journey. So, you know, it's a marathon, you know, and we really do need to pace ourselves. So we talk about burnout. We talk about health, you know, thinking about mastering just the basics. Let's not go and do paleos and, you know, run marathons. Let's master the basics that suit you and your life and your body, but have a plan about, you know, what do you really want to fine tune in your life? So that's that whole self-care section. And then planning just in 12-week blocks is really, really important for the brain, because we can just think about a quarter, the next quarter or the next season. I think in seasons. So summer, you know, what are the goals of summer? What are the goals of winter? They're very, very different. Mm. But the brain can handle just summer. I'm just going to make sure that this happens in summer. Winter, Cole and I work our hardest because there are no barbecues. There are no beautiful sunsets to go and watch down here in Melbourne. So we're happy to work really hard, but we don't want to do that in summer. Summer's about refueling and being outside and friends and just feeling free. So really compartmentalizing with planning is really important. And then we talk about fulfillment and finding depth in what we're doing through vision boards and through journaling and those kind of skills. And then we talk about the science of happiness, because people think happiness is external when it's an inside job. So it doesn't matter if you're making dinner on a Tuesday night, you know, it's like, I get to do this. I don't have to do this.
Yeah.
Really helping people with what is the structure that helps you find fulfillment. So, you know, my to-do list says, I get to do this. It is not to do. It's never said to do. It says joy to do or I get to do. And just thinking, I get to unstack the dishwasher. How lucky am I? Like more than half the world doesn't even have a dishwasher. Or I get to cook, I get to pick up my kid from school, or I get to present on stage, or we get to write a book, or everything then is much easier in life. So, and we always finish the book with celebration, because everything that we do, we finish with a high five, you know, that high five habit of celebration, because the more we celebrate small moments in life, the richer our life feels. So, you know, we watch athletes high five after every point they kick and goal they kick. We should be doing the same. So we always finish our meetings with a high five through the screen, or if we're high fiving together and bringing it to the home. So I'm always high fiving my kids, high fiving my husband, and just making it a way of life. And ultimately, the final one is to high five yourself in the mirror and say, you know what, you showed up today. You know, you put your best foot forward, whatever happened, it doesn't matter, you showed up, and to really honour that. So we think that is probably one of the most powerful skills for longevity.
I love that. As we wrap up, can I ask you both individually, we'll start with you, Colleen, what are the non-negotiables that you incorporate into your daily life to help achieve this wonderful thing called balance?
I'm very structured, a very disciplined person. So I have a non-negotiable that I walk to the beach every day. It's the way I put fuel in my tank. I top the red Ferrari up every morning with a walk to the beach. And for me, that's just the way I start my day. And for Shanna and I, we have very similar routines, actually, probably because we've lived in the same space for so long. But, you know, that walk, that moving your body, we have the three M's: move your body, make your bed, mindfully breathe every morning. That's the way you start your day. We really try not to open up to the world until we've done those three disciplines, because we all know what it's like. The second you wake up, you start, you know, scrolling the Insta or on the emails or breaking news. yes, sudden your day has gone, you know, your day has been consumed and you are open for business. We think about it as the open and close sign of the day. We don't turn the open sign on until we've done our three morning rituals. And then we're also very routine. We have the same drink every morning. You know, we have a pink collagen drink every morning at the same time. And, you know, we have these little habits that we do. And, you know, Shanna talks a lot about habit stacking. And then it's really about, you know, that the morning ritual is really important, but the night rituals are just as important. And, you know, we find that we set a time that we have to close down, you know, close shop. Because otherwise we can just constantly be open all the time and then being
free. It's very hard, particularly working from home, right? Or running a business. Yeah, quite
very
hard.
Easy to take your laptop into the lounge room, you know, your laptop. But, you know, we both have our home offices and that's very much our space. So we don't encroach on any spaces. So there's all these little rituals and rules and things that we do to really sort of, you know, keep our tanks full again and, you know, have the best day that we can possibly have with all the other little obstacles that come our way each day.
Well, the collagen is definitely showing off. You're both absolutely gorgeous. Shanna, what about you? What are your daily non-negotiables?
Well, as Colleen said, very similar. The 3 M's in the morning. Absolutely no phone in the bedroom. The laptop never, ever leaves the office. So it never goes into the kitchen or the lounge and the door gets closed as soon as I finish down for the day, so I don't go back in. So I've been working from home for 20 years. So our kids are now older where, you know, we're not role modeling so much anymore, but it's still imperative. But I sort of explain it like Colleen and I, we're very passionate about high performance living. So we put the athlete hat on and we're all athletes. We're all athletes of life. Doesn't mean you have to be an athlete on the sport field. We're all athletes of life. Mm-hmm. We all need to warm up and have a routine that suits you. And not everybody wants to go for a walk. They might want to stretch or they might want to read for half an hour or whatever it might be. It's really imperative to have what is your warm up. And then you need to pace the day. So for me personally, it's every time I go to the bathroom and wash my hands, it's 3 deep breaths. And they really help to regulate my nervous system and my fatigue. So calming the system down. I have to stay calm. So calming everything down, getting the oxygen in. So I spend a lot of time learning diaphragmatic breathing properly. So that's my medicine 6 times a day. So that's 18 breaths a day. And then the nighttime routine, as Colleen said, everybody needs one and everyone will have a different one. For me, with fatigue, I lie with my legs up the wall for 15 minutes before I watch TV, and I always brush my teeth straight after dinner because that stops me eating on the couch. It's my little lockdown, post-lockdown habit. So it doesn't matter what it is, but I think what's is that everybody knows what it is for them, that they actually do have a plan or they do have a little tick list of these are the habits that really do support me. They make me feel good. They make me feel in control. They make me appreciate my life, whatever it might be. But if you don't have a plan, then you are open slather to hormones, weather, breaking news, emails, messages, kids, everybody else's hormones coming in around you. So really protecting the asset is what we're very passionate about, and that's what the book is for, so that you know who you are, you know where you want to go, and you know how you're going to get there. And that is what human elevation is all about.
Fantastic. There is one question that we ask all of our guests and that we ask each other every time that we chat on this podcast. So you're not immune to it, but it's really important for us that the women and the people who are listening to us recognize it's easy to look at people who are doing really well on the outside and they think they've got it all together and it's only us that is struggling or it's only us that is having something slip up this week that we didn't get to or that we had to let go because of all of the other things that we're juggling, because the juggle is real. And so we ask each of the people that we're speaking to, what is one thing that has to give in your life right now in order to make what looks like an effortless life work this week? So I'll start with you, Colleen.
Ooh, what's one thing that we have to give up?
Or something that just has to get, like for me last night, it was dinner. Couldn't cook dinner. takeaway it was. Like, it just, everything else had to, you know, that was the thing that had to give. Or often it's the washing, or it's, you know, our, sometimes it's our health, our physical health, whatever it is, whether it's small or big. It just helps our listeners to understand that even the people who look like they have it together the most are still juggling a lot.
For me, it's my car at the moment. It looks like I've literally Burley Beach. There is sand everywhere. I've got a puppy and his nose. Every time I look at it, I'm like, I've got to get to it. But it's just, where do I fit it in? The juggle is real.
Well, none of us have a perfect life. And if we look at anyone else's life and we think their life's perfect, we are so, it's so wrong. It's so untrue. I think for me, this week is a really busy, it's our final week before we go on break. And there's a lot happening. Like, there's a lot of parties going on. We're out every single night this week. I've got to drive up to Epping, which is a couple of hours tomorrow. So I will miss my walk tomorrow. So this week will just be, my focus is just get through one day at a time. And by the time Thursday night comes, you can switch off. You can literally turn off, but just push that little bit harder. You can get through it this week. You are going to feel a bit exhausted and a little bit cranky maybe at times, but you're nearly there. So I think that's my message to myself this week, is you're nearly there. We've had a very big year. You know, it's been just huge, and we all need a break. So we've just got to get through. You can just see that finish line. It's just not too far away.
Yeah. And Shanna?
Well, for me, I have to say, I've just given up on cooking, you know? Like, I cook, but it's not good.
Yeah. I hear you, sister.
Yeah, I'm like,
I've seen you two on the socials lately. There's lots of champagne and lots of cheese platters. Who needs to cook?
Cook, but, you know, I've got two kids that live at home. I've got one who's just finished school. I've got one who's going into year 12 next year, and I always said, you know, when they're in year 12, I'm going to be that amazing mom that makes muffins and have amazing snack plates and all. Terrible. I'm terrible. And, you know, what I've done, I've just decided to accept it, that I'm just not good at cooking. So yeah. I just, you know what, I'm not even going to try it very hard, because it just takes so much energy for me to try. And then I get very overwhelmed, and then it doesn't look like it does in the cookbook, and it doesn't taste that great. So I'm just really want to own it.
Good.
Thank you.
Does that feel liberating? Does it feel freeing just to be able to own, you know what? Cooking's not my forte. A lot of strengths, cooking's not one of them.
No. And even my family, they all know. And luckily in lockdown, my husband decided to take up cooking. And I was like, I'm just handing the reins to you. You know,
thank you.
I will clean up, I will do the shopping, but you just cook it. Because I've got a mental block. Maybe it's menopause, I'm not sure.
I get it. I totally get it.
Thank you both for your honesty. And thank you so much for putting out the perfect, tangible summer read. Elevate invites us all to embark on a journey to transcend limitations that actually hold us back. And it helped me to unleash the potential that might reside deep within. Ladies, thank you so much. We think that your book is absolutely remarkable, and it is in bookstores now.
Oh, thank you for having us. And here's to collaboration, right? Here's to women collaborating, lifting each other up, and also celebrating each other. So thank you for putting on a podcast and helping people that you never know are going to be helped by this. They might be on their walk and listening to something, and it might change their life. And you've facilitated that. And I really celebrate you as well.
Thank you. And thanks so much for making this work, because it's, like you said, there's a community of women out there supporting women. And it's just such a lovely, it's the best of us as women coming into a space together to support each other. And it's really, it's a beautiful and uplifting space. So the book is in bookstores now. Also, if you want to find out more about Colleen and Shanna, you can go to their website, www.humanelevation.com.au. And can you please share your Instagram handles, which we will also have in the show notes?
Well, mine's Shanna Kennedy, and Cole's is Colleen Callender. And we also have Human Elevation 2 on Instagram.
Perfect. Thank you so much, ladies. We can't wait for everybody to hook into this in the new year and have an incredible year ahead.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Workwives want to create a podcast for you, the brilliant, beautiful, talented, and tired working woman. We want to create content that will help you, inspire you, and set your soul on fire. So, how can you help us to help you?
Well, firstly, you can subscribe to this podcast wherever you listen to it to be notified when we release upcoming episodes. It really helps the podcast gods to take notice and pick up what we're putting down for them, so it would really mean a lot to us.
Secondly, follow along on our Instagram at the.work.wives, where we can answer your questions and get to know you. We'd love to learn from you, listen to your stories, and hear about women who you think we should also bring onto the show.
And lastly, share this podcast with the women in your life and put the word out to work wives everywhere. The water cooler is open and we're ready for a global chat. Together with you, let's divide, conquer, and thrive. I'm Anna.
And I'm Sarah, and we'll see you next time.
Workwives podcast acknowledges the traditional owners of country throughout Australia, and we recognise the continuing connection to lands, waters, and community. We pay our respects to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander cultures and to elders past, present, and emerging.